Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
What up, Brightside besties?
Hello, sunshine. Today on The Bright Side, our segment, Grand Old Grannies, is back with parenting advice from Dr. Flo Rosen, a.k.a. TikTok's very favorite grandma, Ask Bubby. It's Monday, April 8th. I'm Danielle Robay.
And I'm Simone Boyce. This is The Bright Side from Hello, Sunshine.
This is the first time we are recording apart, C-Money. Where are you recording from? Are you stuck in a little closet? Where are you?
I am at a hotel in Medina, New York, because I am here to witness the total eclipse of the sun later on today.
If I threw a dart onto a map, you think I would find it?
It's a tiny, tiny little town. I have a lot of my dad's family from here, so this is actually great. I get to catch up with my family members that I never see, and we're going to watch this phenomenon take place.
I'm so excited you're there because you're going to give us a firsthand account of what it was all like.
Yes. Coming tomorrow, you can hear my loud breathing and reactions and oohs and ahs as I witness the solar eclipse.
You know, I don't mean to get deep, but I do think that there's this amazing feeling that humans get with awe, A-W-E. And so I hope you feel some awe. I'm excited to hear about it.
That's what I'm looking for. But first, we're going to get into what's popping on our feeds today. This is your morning drip. Danielle, we have some very big news from our Hello Sunshine family.
Whoo, is it big news?
And an exciting update for all the Elle Woods fans out there. So a TV series inspired by Legally Blonde is currently in development at Amazon. It is happening, people.
We've all been wanting more Elle Woods. Like, I watch Legally Blonde on almost every airplane ride I'm on. Now I'm going to get new content.
Totally. It's ubiquitous. It's a seminal film for feminists, for just Hollywood in general. This comes up a lot, though, when we're working on the show and doing interviews with folks on the show. They talk about how Elle Woods has inspired them to pursue law or politics. I mean, the impact is just immeasurable from this one character.
I don't think I realized it when I was growing up because I just loved the movie. I thought it was so fun, and I loved watching her outfits and her friendship with her sorority sisters. But I actually watched recently on a plane ride to New York and realized how well it stood up. Like, not every movie from that time stands the test of time in terms of how culture is spoken about, and it really does stand up.
And you can bet we're going to be getting that same quality because Reese Witherspoon is back as one of the series' executive producers. I mean, I cannot wait for this. We're going to have some sort of Bright Side launch party for this.
She produces our podcast and Legally Blonde, the series.
How cool is that?
Very. Also exciting, Sex and the City is now available on Netflix. So for those of you like me that love Sex and the City, you'll remember its triumphant run on HBO in the late 1990s and early 2000s. And I think it's kind of surreal to see the sitcom vault into the Netflix top 10. That means Gen Z is watching too, I think. And until last year, HBO had a policy where they weren't licensing their shows to Netflix. So now I think you get to decide if you're a Carrie, a Miranda, Samantha, Charlotte, or a mix on multiple platforms.
Which one are you?
I always felt like I was a mix between Carrie and Samantha. How about you?
I honestly don't know enough about it to say who I am. I did not watch it.
I feel like we need a weekend to lay in bed and watch this show. Like, I feel like it like encapsulates so much of your dating life in your 20s and 30s.
I don't know. Does it? I don't personally, I don't know that it represents me, or I don't know that I actually saw myself in the show necessarily.
It's fair. There is a huge lack of representation in the original series, and that's been talked about a lot. But I do think that women who date in their 20s and 30s see parts of themselves in that show no matter what. Like, there's just a sisterhood, too, that's really fun.
You know what was my Sex and the City? Girls. That was my version. It was, like, a little bit quirkier, little bit more off-kilter.
It was. You know? I didn't love the show as much. I hear what
it
you're saying.
It was that awkward humor, and I love that.
Yeah, it was very Brooklyn-centric.
Yes.
All right.
Danielle, personal question. How many group chats are you currently involved in at this moment in time?
I don't feel like that's that personal. I'm involved in probably like 4 group chats. One is with my family.
Damn, that's a lot.
No. Well, what's considered a group?
You know what? That's a good question. I feel like a group chat is like a gaggle of people. It's got to be.
It's a gaggle.
Like 8 to 10, maybe. Let's talk about a group chat that has 5 members in it, or at least had 5 members in it, because Mel B from the Spice Girls recently revealed that she actually got kicked out of the Spice Girls chat in 2019.
This is egregious.
Can you believe it?
The Spice Girls are 5 girls. You can't have 4 girls in the Spice Girls.
Okay, well, she wasn't actually kicked out of the band. She was kicked out of the group chat, and here's why. This is her crime. She apparently leaked intel from the chat about a possible Spice Girls reunion tour. So this is actually very, very exciting news.
I mean, it feels like that's worthy of getting kicked out. She can't be trusted. Group chats are sacred.
I'm still stuck on the fact that a 30th reunion tour might be in the works. Are you going to be there?
Spice Girls set up my entire life. Like, I was Spice Girls obsessed. I watched that movie over and over again.
Spice World.
Oh my God, I wanted to look like them and dress like them and eat lollipops like them. I was obsessed.
Eat lollipops like them? I'm sorry, can you elaborate?
They had Spice Girls lollipops and I just begged my mom to buy them so I could be like them.
That is so obscure. The Spice Girls are woven into every major memory I have pretty much from childhood in the 90s. I was at a sleepover when I found out that Princess Diana died, and we were dressed up as Spice Girls at that time. So I now associate her passing with the Spice Girls. It's like they're inextricably linked to everything from my childhood.
I do think there's something actually like culturally deeper here, which is girl groups, specifically like pop music girl groups like Destiny's Child. They, I think, really inspired women to feel that sisterhood, to feel collaborative, to be not competitive with each other in a way that maybe like other generations didn't have.
That's true.
And so I think the Spice Girls actually had more to do with feminism than we give them credit for.
Oh, 100%. Which Spice Girl do you identify with the most?
Now or then?
Then. Well, actually, I want to know both.
Okay, then I was obsessed with Ginger. I loved her red hair, and I felt like she had like all these like sexy outfits with her like British flag tank tops or dresses. Now, I think I would be Sporty Spice. But she wasn't as cool back then. But that's really the real me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm in sneakers and workout clothes. How about you?
This question is a little bit triggering for me because as a biracial girl with curly hair, you were, and usually you're the only one who looks like that in your friend group, at least where I grew up.
Yeah.
You have no choice but to be Scary Spice. You are forced to be Scary Spice every time, and no shade to Mel B, but I just wanted to have different options. All the other girls got options whenever we were playing dress up. So I always had an affinity towards Baby. We actually share the same birthday. But now I totally agree. I am Sporty Spice in my day-to-day life.
Yes. No, you really are.
Like, crop tops, sports bras, cargo pants, I'm all about it.
We both lean heavy into the sports girl aesthetic.
I think you graduate into the Sporty Spice lifestyle as you get older. It's more comfortable. Okay.
Speaking of girl groups.
Speaking of girl groups. Okay, I actually do have a few group chats in my phone right now, and one of them is all about a bachelorette party, and it's kind of taking over my whole life.
Oh my God, bachelorette parties are the bane of my whole existence. I have friends now, like my really close friends know not to invite me to their bachelorette parties. And why are you laughing?
That's not a great thing.
No, it's a loving thing, because then I don't have to lovingly decline.
Oh, wow. Okay, keep going, keep going.
I never want to be seen in a penis hat ever. Here's the thing. I was invited to a bachelorette, my good friend Chelsea, and we went to college together, and she's the kind of friend that I knew it was really important to her, so I couldn't say no, because it's like, for sometimes you give, right?
Yeah.
So I went, it was in Nashville, she rented the most gorgeous Airbnb. Like, when I tell you, we were all living in the lap of luxury. It was so fun to all be together, our college friends were all together. But by night 2, I was like, I'm out. And they all went out and I went back to the Airbnb and fell asleep on my nice bed.
Okay, well, let me tell you about this new trend that I saw in the New York Times, because this might be your opt out for bachelorette parties, okay? So instead of a bachelorette party, apparently wellness weekends are the new thing to do. So you don't have to have this like blowout hangover style epic bachelorette weekend, but you can just host a slower, soothing, wellness-centered weekend where you and your bridal party just get to relax. I mean,
I'm obsessed with this.
That sounds great, right?
Invite me to get a foot massage. Invite me to the south of France. Sure, I'm saying yes to all of those things.
Guided meditation as
a
group. Yes,
sound bath. I'm in all the woo-woo. Let's light some candles and say a prayer together.
So I have a theory that age is a really big factor here. I think as I get older, I'm in my mid-30s, I think it's just harder and harder to go to a bachelorette party.
It's really hard to take the time off work, and I think the expense has gotten so out of control.
It's hard to take the time off of work. I'm going to one this summer, and I cannot wait to see all my girlfriends. But we're all going to be sharing a room. And
no.
You're
36.
I know. I don't know how I feel about sharing rooms at this point.
It's too hard because you have to like call your kids at night and talk to them and speak to your husband. And it's just, I'd rather be more intentional about the time I'm taking off and where I want to go instead of having this like forced fun weekend. Because I actually feel like there's a lot of pressure.
I think they can be really fun. I'm not trying to call you out, so don't
please
think this
call
way.
Me out.
No. I love my friends so much that I'm willing to stomach it. But it's like, I don't know, how many more of these do I have left in me? I don't know.
Well, actually, as somebody who, like, I'm probably going to get married later in my life if that happens. And I think about that because I'm like, at some point, it changes for your friend group. Like people have exhausted this. You have to do something else if you want to do some sort of weekend. But I don't like putting people out. I would never like ask people to take off a day of work, fly across the country. It just feels like a lot.
But this is something that I've learned about friendship. Sometimes you have to do that because you have to allow people to show up for you.
But can't they show up for you like in the city that you live in? It just feels so extravagant nowadays.
But if your friends really love you, and they do because you're an amazing human being,
thank you,
they will want to do that for you because they know that it means a lot to you. And you know,
I don't want to do that to them though.
Okay, I give up.
I like this idea though. I like a wellness weekend. I'm in for that.
Yeah, I just want to do wellness weekends even when I'm not getting married. Can we just do that?
Yes.
Without a wedding?
Simone and I have this thing that we're going on one friend date a month, doing something weird, like going to a rodeo. She's, I think, making me go to Disneyland. I don't know, TBD. I'm still fighting that one. But I think we should add a wellness weekend to this.
I love that. We have to actually plan this, though.
Not the Disneyland.
All right, up next, we're talking to one of the Bright Side's grand old grannies. Dr. Flo Rosen, a.k.a. Ask Bubby, joins us to share some parenting wisdom.
You don't want to miss this. Simone, I hear you have a new hosting gig coming up.
You mean besides this podcast?
Yes, this podcast. But also, you're going to be hosting your house on Airbnb.
It's true. I'm going to be traveling a bit coming up, and it felt like the perfect opportunity to earn a little extra cash, baby.
I love your house.
I love my house, too. And it's great for families because it's already set up for traveling with kids. We have bunk beds. We have an extra stroller. We have toys galore. Traveling with kids can be a real challenge, so I'm always looking for ways to make that process easier. When I've stayed at friends' homes or hotels, they don't always have what I need for my family.
That's so true, and you've got it all at your place.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a win-win. I'm not worried about my house sitting empty, and I love that I get to show someone around my neighborhood without having to physically show them around my neighborhood, you know?
While you're out of town for your next adventure, your home could be an Airbnb, too. And hey, it might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The wait is over. The Chi returns May 10th on Paramount Plus, and the stakes have never been higher. Everything changes on the South Side when a new threat comes to power in the Showtime original series from Emmy winner Lena Waithe. Battle lines will be drawn, alliances will shift, and danger lies around every corner. leaving everyone to wonder who they can trust. Visit ParamountPlus.com/theshot to get a 50% discount off the Paramount Plus with Showtime annual plan. Offer ends July 14th. Subscription auto-renews. Restrictions apply.
We're back, and it's time for another Grand Old Granny segment. We're talking to the brilliant pediatrician turned very famous grandma, Dr. Flo Rosen. She's the star of the Ask Bubby TikTok and Instagram accounts, where she talks about everything from diaper rashes to car seats, truly any question you have about babies or kids.
Danielle, you know I'm so excited for this conversation because I have two very active toddler boys at home, and I think I speak for all the parents of littles under five out there when I say we can always use more help and more advice.
I also want to add that even though I'm not a parent, I love following parenting advice and parenting experts because I find that it's really about great communication. So I think we all have something to learn from this. Dr. Rosen, welcome to The Bright Side.
Welcome.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
Are we allowed to call you Bubby?
Absolutely. Okay. It's an honor.
How does it feel to be the internet's Bubby? That's a lot of responsibility.
Well, it is, but I absolutely love it. I waited a very long time to become a grandmom, so I am enjoying every minute of it.
So you have to tell everybody the difference between a Bubby and a grandmother, because there is a difference.
Well, I don't know that there really is. I'm curious what you think the difference is.
So I personally feel like Bubbies are way more in your business.
Wait. Yes, but that's because Bubby is the Yiddish name for grandmother. And given that Jewish mothers are known throughout the world to be a little more in your business, I think your interpretation is probably right.
Did you have a Bubby or a grandmother?
Actually, my parents were Holocaust survivors. Wow. So my kids had their grandmother, their grandfather, and they had their Zadie, my father. But I didn't have any grandparents.
Wow. So you're kind of creating what this footprint looks like for your family.
Yes. But I will tell you, my kids' grandparents were wonderful. So they were great role models.
That's wonderful.
Okay. Let's rewind a little bit. Because you were a pediatrician practicing for 42 years. You also taught med students for years at the University of Pennsylvania. And then it seems like suddenly overnight you became an internet sensation after this video of you and your grandson was posted on TikTok. Tell us how that all went down.
It was actually a very funny thing. My daughter-in-law is in social media. So Trent was having his first tummy time experience, and my daughter-in-law was videotaping me, showing her the right position to put him in. And then Trent very unexpectedly looked at me and rolled over. And I was in a state of shock.
8 days old at this point.
8 days old. 8-day-olds do not roll over generally unless there's some sort of problem. He had no problem. He just rolled over. So I was so shocked that I looked like an absolute idiot on camera. And my daughter-in-law thought it was absolutely hysterical. So she said she was going to post it. And I had said to her, I always figured when I, retired that I wanted to do an advice column. And she looked at me in total shock and horror and went, an advice column? That's so old school. We're putting you on social media. And she immediately established my accounts on TikTok and Instagram. Well, that original video has been seen over 25 million times.
What do you think it is that was drawing people in like that?
That I looked like such an idiot.
No.
I think it's your organic reaction.
Well,
right?
I think that's what people responded to. But yeah. I truly was flabbergasted.
Well, you also have this added expertise because of your years as a physician. So I think there's this added element of trust and inquiry that people have with you. All right. Ask Bubby. There's a reason you put the ask in front of the Bubby, because everybody has questions for you. You've been a pediatrician and a mom for over 40 years. Now you're a grandmother. So we have decades of experience sitting right here, and we have lots of questions for you.
Ask away. I'll try to answer them.
Okay. The first question comes from a listener. How do you stay calm while your baby is screaming?
Well, I actually did a video on this. The truth is, you have to remember that that's the only way the baby knows how to communicate. So they're just telling you that something is wrong. So obviously you want to try to figure out what's upsetting your baby. Is something in their clothing digging in? Do they have a wet diaper? Are they hungry? Are they overtired? You kind of go through all of that. And after you've gone through everything and you're really at your wit's end, put the baby down. Put the baby somewhere safe. It can be a playpen. It can be the crib. Go somewhere. You can go in the bathroom, close the door, and do a primal scream into a pillow. Whatever it takes to relieve your tension, as long as the baby is safe.
So it's so not going to give them, like, lowercase t trauma later? Because all my friends with kids are like, I'm so scared to leave the baby while they're crying.
I think it is much safer to leave a crying baby after you've ruled out everything that could possibly be wrong. It's much safer to leave the baby than to actually get frustrated and yell at the baby or, right, God forbid, shake the baby. And I will tell you, with my younger son once, he was crying unbelievably, and I tried everything. I nursed him. I changed his diaper. I changed what he was wearing. And I finally looked at my husband in total defeat and said, I don't know what else to do. I'm just putting him down. And I put him down in his crib. He looked at me, flashed a smile, and went right to sleep. All he wanted was to be left alone. And I spent 3 hours torturing him.
Wow.
Well, I think this gets to the importance of teaching your baby to self-soothe. They have to be able to learn how to self-soothe. And this, of course, opens up the whole sleep training discussion.
Oh, boy.
I know. I'm gonna go there, okay? I'm going to open up the sleep training can of worms. Bubby, I am such a firm believer in sleep training. I think it helps the parents regain control over their life. I think it teaches the babies how to self-soothe. Tell the internet that I'm right.
I actually think you are.
Yes!
There have been different methods of sleep training that people have tried for generations. What you want to try to do is be consistent. Mm-hmm. You want to have a schedule, and you want to make the baby have cues so they know it's bedtime. So you want to change the, you know, turn the lights down in their room. You know, whether it's a bottle, whether it's a story, whether it's music, just try to go through the same routine so they get the message that that's bedtime.
Tell me about this, because I don't have kids yet. I love when my friends have kids. I love smelling the baby. I love holding the baby. It, like, makes my heart smile. If that sounds so corny, but it's true. So I never quite know when the right time is to go visit. I want to be respectful, obviously. What's your take on it?
There is a particular window, and that window is certainly up to at least 8 weeks. And if a baby were to get a fever in that period, there is the potential that they would need what's called a full septic workup, which, in addition to a blood test and a urine test, would also include a spinal tap. Not all of them will get it, but it's still a very high risk, and certainly under 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. So a lot of parents are very nervous, and understandably so, in the first 2 months. And you really want to respect that.
I actually have very strong feelings about this, but not from a medical or safety perspective. It's more from a protecting the mom's peace perspective. I think that the time after a woman gives birth is such a raw time. Your hormones are surging and plummeting. And I mean, for me, it was one of the darkest, most bewildering times, but also a really beautiful and exhilarating time, because you're getting to meet your baby and hold your baby for the first time. You just don't know which way's up, which way's down. And I think to impose on a new mother and say, like, we got to come by and see the baby when they're 2 weeks old or 3 weeks old or even a week old, it's just too much. Like, so my advice to all mothers out there, new moms, like, you tell people when it's okay for them to come.
Well, I agree completely. But what you're really saying, the message there, and this is really important for all new moms, is set limits.
Yes. And set boundaries.
And I think that new parents have the right to set whatever limit they want.
Absolutely.
They don't have to explain it. They don't have to justify it. They can set their limits. And quite honestly, if someone doesn't respect it, then you don't have to have them in your house.
Mm-hmm. I want to give Bubby a standing ovation right now. That is such important advice, because you can be consumed by this guilt of, like, oh, I've got to oblige. I've got to people please. I've got to let people come over and see the baby. Doesn't matter. It's all about you. Okay.
And that is absolutely key.
Bubby, talk to me about gentle parenting. It's a term that I've heard over the last few years.
Let's get into
getting
it.
An eye roll.
Let's get into it.
Just for
Bubby.
Everyone listening, we're getting an eye roll.
Bubby is my people. I can tell by her reaction to everything that we have talked about today.
I just want to I want to give like a little background on this. So my parents were not gentle parents. They were very much throw you into the fire. I think at multiple points, my father said to me, nobody cares about your feelings. What are the facts? Okay. So he was not a gentle parent. I'm really sensitive. I think I might have done well with a little more gentle parenting. And I can't figure out what the balance is. What's your take?
Here's my issue with this. Gentle parenting is really that you don't raise your voice to your child. You certainly never raise a hand to your child. And you try to talk to your child about what's going on and their feelings and working it out. Well, I think that's all well and good in theory. But a two-year-old that's upset and throwing a temper tantrum is not in any position to sit there and have an intellectual discussion about what their feelings are.
Yeah.
So you have to take some of the good parts of gentle parenting, but apply them appropriately. So if you have a child, a two-year-old, who's having an absolute meltdown, let them melt down. They have to get those feelings out. And then maybe after they've calmed down, you can sit there and say, I know you were really upset and that's why, you know, you were crying. Can you tell mommy what upset you? And then try to talk about, well, maybe a better way to handle this would be if you had told mommy that you really wanted another cookie or whatever it was.
Yeah.
But to do it in the heat of the moment is not going to work. A two-year-old is not going to be able to navigate that and have a full discussion on it.
And also to try to do it whenever you're out in public and your kid is having a meltdown or causing a scene. I mean, it's just impossible. You've got to do what you got to do in that moment. Obviously, I totally agree with you said not raising a hand to your child. But and I also think a lot of this is dependent on the child. If you have a spicy child, gentle parenting is not going to work on that child. I think gentle parenting works well for gentle kids. But I think there are a lot of great things that have come out of it. I think all the intentionality around helping your kids become better communicators, helping them talk about their big feelings, that's great.
You know, there's a lot to be said about that. Not that I think you need to toughen kids up, but, you know, as a baby boomer parent, every kid was a winner. Every kid got a trophy. I think we get we did a great disservice to our kids. Mm-hmm. And in fact, studies have shown that kids that have to do chores, kids that don't always get what they want, kids that have to work for something, end up being much happier adults. I think you certainly want to respect your children's feelings. You always want to address that, and you want to do what you can to help your children understand, you know, how to navigate the world. But I think giving in to every whim is absolutely not the way to do it.
We have to help our kids adjust to the idea of failure and get comfortable with failure, because I think failure is the only way to grow, confidence.
I think that's absolutely true. There's always been these different theories on how to do it, but the end result is really what you said. Kids have to learn failure. That's how they grow, and that's how they get motivated to, you know, succeed the next time. And I think every kid is a winner. It just doesn't work in the long run.
Yeah. Ooh, that's a bar.
It really is. Bubby, you are filled with endless amounts of wisdom. Thank you so much for sharing some of it with us today on The Bright Side.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Bubby is a pediatrician turned content creator, and she's on Instagram and TikTok as Ask Bubby.
All right, Bright Side besties. Grandmas give out some of the best advice of anybody that we know. So we're going to be doing a monthly advice segment with our very favorite grandmas. If you have a question or a conundrum or an amazing grandma, hit us up, send us a voice memo or an email at hello@thebrightsidepodcast.com. Simone, I hear you have a new hosting gig coming up.
You mean besides this podcast?
Yes, this podcast. But also, you're going to be hosting your house on Airbnb?
It's true. I'm going to be traveling a bit coming up, and it felt like the perfect opportunity to earn a little extra cash, baby.
I love your house.
I love my house. house too. And it's great for families because it's already set up for traveling with kids. We have bunk beds, we have an extra stroller, we have toys galore. Traveling with kids can be a real challenge, so I'm always looking for ways to make that process easier. When I've stayed at friends' homes or hotels, they don't always have what I need for my family.
That's so true, and you've got it all at your place.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a win-win. I'm not worried about my house sitting empty, and I love that I get to show someone around my neighborhood without having to physically show them around my neighborhood, you know?
While you're out of town for your next adventure, your home could be an Airbnb too. And hey, it might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The wait is over. The Chi returns May 10th on Paramount Plus, and the stakes have never been higher. Everything changes on the South Side when a new threat comes to power in the Showtime original series from Emmy winner Lena Waithe. Battle lines will be drawn, alliances will shift, and danger lies around every corner, leaving everyone to wonder who they can trust. Visit ParamountPlus.com/TheShot to get a 50% discount off the Paramount Plus with Showtime annual plan. Offer ends July 14th. Subscription auto-renews. Restrictions apply.
We're back, Danielle. All that parenting advice got me thinking. I need to know more about how you grew up.
I want to know about how you grew up, too.
Okay, I have an idea. Let's play a little this or that game so we can both get to know each other better in our upbringing styles. Okay, first question. Did you have a curfew growing up, or were you allowed to come and go as you pleased?
I think I had a curfew that was like midnight in high school. And then if I came home after, I just had to like let them know because my dad could not go to bed until my brother and I were in our beds locked in the house.
Oh, he had anxiety about it?
Yeah, I think he was big on safety. I think he was just nervous.
Not your mom. Your mom wasn't that way.
My mom passes out. She probably did care about safety, but was too tired.
My poor mom is the exact way your dad was. Oh. Could not sleep unless I was in the house in my bed.
And wait, did you have a curfew though?
I did have a curfew. I think it was like 11 or something. Yeah, definitely curfew. I mean, can't imagine a world in which a parent doesn't have a curfew for their kids, right?
I had some friends who didn't have curfews, but I don't know if that ended up well for them.
Where are they now?
Where are they now? Okay, allowance. Did you get a regular allowance or were you working a part-time job to hustle up some extra cash?
I think I got an allowance up until the point when I actually could get a part-time job, and then I started working. My first job, Danielle, you're not going to believe this.
Wait, I want to guess.
This is stranger than fiction.
What?
I worked at a haunted corn maze in Memphis, Tennessee.
A haunted corn maze?
Yeah, it was a seasonal gig. And I worked in the concessions during daylight hours. But then when night fell, I dressed up as a zombie cheerleader and had to scare people out of a garbage can.
At least you had a cute costume. Zombie cheerleader is probably the best out of all of the options there in the corn maze.
It built character.
My high school job was I was a dancer for bar and bat mitzvahs, for birthday parties.
Get out.
I got the crowd going. My friend was the DJ, and so he would hire like three of our friends, and we were dancers.
Do you still know any of the dances?
No, they weren't like line dances. It's audio, so this is hard to explain, but they were just more like getting the crowd going, like pumping your fists.
Okay. Books or boys, Danielle? Did your parents stress education over dating, or were you allowed to explore your options?
Okay, I'm not going to be boring, but I'm going to say both.
Okay.
My parents really valued education, still do. My grandmother was a teacher. My grandfather was a professor and a principal. Education was huge in our house. But my mom was always telling me to, like, go out and date. And she is, like, more fun than me, you know? So she was like, go be in high school. Go live your life. But she wanted all the tea. And I was always so private. I'd never tell her anything. I hid all my boyfriends.
So I didn't date at all in high school.
You weren't allowed or you didn't want to?
It wasn't that I wasn't allowed, but I grew up in such a sheltered, conservative Christian house that my parents barely even talked to me about sex and relationships. Mm. So it was just a topic that didn't ever really come up. And also, I moved around so much that I was like so awkward and I was like really tall and gangly and lanky and awkward that it never really happened. Dating never really happened for me. But education has always been such a huge priority in my family going back several generations. So I'm grateful for that.
I mean, my mom keeps talking about the story that you told about your grandmother.
Yeah.
It's very clear that you come from a long line of really smart, thoughtful people.
Thank you. You too.
Birthday bashes or birthday blues? Were you always having a big blowout birthday as a kid with all your friends, or did you want something small and kind of, you know, or did you want something small?
I had some really fun big blowout birthdays as a kid.
Really?
And actually, you know what's funny? When I think about the themes and the activities that I made my friends do, I still do this to this day. Like, one of my fondest memories is this shaving cream fight birthday that I had with all my friends.
That's so fun.
It was so fun. And now I still love making my friends do, like, field day games and sloppy games. Danielle, you seem like you would just love that.
I was going to say, please don't invite me to your birthday. I'll take you for dinner. I felt really actually lucky. I'm not a huge birthday person now, but when I was a kid, my mom always, I grew up in Chicago and almost all my family was in Chicago. And so we would do a friends party and then a family party. And so the family parties were my favorite because like grandparents, cousins, uncles, aunts, everyone was together. And I just felt like so loved. And so, that's where I felt most comfortable.
That's so sweet.
Yeah, it was really special. I didn't realize till later how special that was.
Where do our birthdays go wrong? It seems like a lot of us bring birthday baggage into adulthood, but
we should do a whole episode on birthday baggage.
I would love to dig into it.
Me
let's,
too.
Let's dive in.
I like that word, birthday baggage. It's true.
PG or rated R? Did your parents heavily monitor what you watched on TV, or could you press play on anything you wanted?
My mom says that she made two errors as a mother. She said she didn't really teach us how to cook, which she regrets. And she took me to see Romy and Michelle's high school reunion when I was in kindergarten. And she looked around.
In kindergarten?
Yes. And she looked around and she was like, everyone here is much older. But I begged her for months. All I wanted to see was that movie.
You begged your mother when you were in kindergarten?
Yes.
How was it even on your radar?
I don't know. All of my friends were third children. I was the only firstborn. And okay. So I think they were all like more ahead of the curve.
Okay.
And they let me, I watched Sopranos, I watched Sex and the City. I would like beg them to stay up and watch things.
Okay, you did not have a black mom. That's what I'm gonna say about that.
Your mom was super strict.
Oh yeah, I couldn't read Harry Potter.
You're kidding.
Could not read Harry Potter. It was witchcraft.
This is incredible.
This is a thing though. If you, other people, they will come out of the woodwork when I'm talking about this, they will tell you this.
So when did you start, because you're very pop culturally fluent, when did you start watching things?
It's really funny because my mom was an actor, so she knows the benefit of the arts and of creative expression, but she still came from such a conservative background that she felt the need to be really strict about what I watched or what I took in. It was more religious than anything.
In hindsight, do you think any of it was valid? Like, do you think it was good that you were sheltered a bit?
Not really. I mean, I think you should spare your kids from certain things that are like too sexually revealing or too mature for them. You don't want them having questions about things that they shouldn't have to question yet. Mm-hmm. But whatever, I turned out all right.
You did. Also, it's kind of interesting because in Europe, like they censor violence more. And in America,
yeah.
We censor like sexual stuff more. And I always think that it's interesting in terms of what we value or think is, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's the funny thing because I would go to, at home, I wasn't allowed to read Harry Potter, but then we would go to a friend's house from our church and they'd have Braveheart on, you know, and it was extremely violent. But of course, you can make an exception for that because of the themes in it, I guess.
I actually haven't thought about so much of this stuff in years. This was kind of interesting.
I know, it really was.
Yeah, thank you for the therapy session, producers.
Yes, our producers did a great job. I had to dig deep into the memory banks for this one. I keep thinking about Bubby's second act, Danielle, and how she became this TikTok star when she least expected it.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes me think of one of my favorite mantras, and that is, it's never too late.
It's powerful.
It really is.
It's a short sentence, and it's powerful. After 42 years, she made the pivot. She was a pediatrician turned TikTok star, and it's really inspiring. There's no expiration date on second acts.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah. I think we got to end on that. That's it for today's show.
Thanks to our partners at Airbnb. We'll be back tomorrow talking about the new Apple TV film Girls State, which documents the summer program where young women create a mock government.
We're joined by co-director Amanda McBain and one of the Girls State participants, future leader Emily Worthmore.
Listen and subscribe on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can find me, Simone Boyce, at Simone Boyce.
And I'm Danielle Robay, at Danielle Robay, R-O-B-A-Y. See you tomorrow. Simone, you may not know this, but I have been bitten by the travel bug. This time of year, I crave the outdoors and the mountains and adventure. They're calling to me.
I mean, we were both in Austin recently for work and also having a time. And as soon as I got home, I was already on Airbnb planning my next trip, possibly this summer. And while I'm away, I'll be hosting my home on Airbnb.
While you're out of town for your next adventure, your home could be an Airbnb too. And hey, it might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.